This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In November, voters in the city of Kalamazoo will elect a mayor and six members of the city commission. This is the first election since voters approved amendments to the city charter that changed the way elections are conducted in Kalamazoo. Under the new system, there is a separate election of the mayor, and city commissioners will be elected to staggered terms. In the future, all commissioners will be elected to four-year terms, with three seats up every 2 years. Because this is the first election under the new system, there will be a transition. All seven seats are up for election this year, with the top three finishers earning four-year terms and the next three winning two-year terms. Today, we bring you a special edition of West Southwest. On Wednesday, the Kalamazoo Gazette held a forum for the candidates running for Kalamazoo City Commission and mayor at the MLive Hub in downtown Kalamazoo. Two candidates for the commission, Kevin Staton and Jason Milan, did not participate. The forum was moderated by Gazette editor Mickey Shikilo. It began with opening statements, first from Kalamazoo Mayor Bobby Hopewell.
Well, good evening, everyone, and I want to thank MLive for having this and all of you for showing up. You know, I've had the honor of being the mayor of this community for 8 years and working with this year six amazing people that are serving us every single day. And we're working together. And in this community, we're working together on things like our financial challenge. We know that the city has some financial challenges, but we've been working with the community to deal with those. Our retiree issues of $188 million we took action on. And you know, most of you know, we have a revenue panel looking at how we're going to move our revenue forward. Along with working with the Northside neighborhood, I've had that honor. We're working on business development in the neighborhoods, but my role has been working with banks and others to develop a microloan program. Along with that, we have our shared prosperity efforts, the allied work that we've been doing to remove contaminants. This is all about working together, and I'm asking for the opportunity to continue to work with all of you for this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hopewell. Mr. Embaugh?
My name is Chris Mba, and I want to thank you guys for taking the time out today to just hear me out. You're going to hear a lot of BS today, and so I'm going to try to keep things pretty fun and light. But the first thing I want to say is that my attendance here is not an endorsement of this platform. I do not endorse MLive or the Gazette. I believe that this kind of a platform censures real democracy, real dialogue, real engagement. Our community lacks these principles. My presence here today will not answer any of the questions directed to me. In fact, I will speak freely as a free man and express to you how I feel about not only this community, but the city government that we follow. Thank you for your time today, and let's have some fun.
Thank you, Mr. Emba. Mr. Anderson, you're next.
Good evening, everybody. My name is David Anderson, and I currently have the pleasure of serving as vice mayor for the city of Kalamazoo. I've been on the Kalamazoo City Commission for 10 years. During the course of those 10 years, we have cut budgets every single year, reduced expenses, reduced the number of employees at the city. It's been a challenging time for the city of Kalamazoo. In addition, we've worked through a lot of particular issues here, which I've been deeply involved with over that time. I think that at this point, what the commission needs is people who have experience, have some understanding of what city issues are willing to keep committed to this great city, and I'd like the opportunity to do that with another term. Thank you so much for coming here tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Youngs?
Good evening. Thank you for attending. My name is Reed Youngs. I currently serve the city on the Zoning Board of Appeals. Prior to that, I termed out after 6 years on the Planning Commission. My family and I moved up to Kalamazoo 9 years ago to take advantage of the promise. And I wanted to get involved because I had years of service on the Kalamazoo County Road Commission. I was termed out and looking for an opportunity to serve the city. After being in the city for 9 years, I've become aware of the issues, you know, the budgetary problems. I've worked with budgets, local level, county level, and I looking for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carter.
Hello, my name is Leona Carter. I live in the Vine neighborhood. I work at Disability Network as a travel trainer and a transit outreach specialist. So I teach people how to overcome the barriers to transportation, and I also teach them how to ride public transportation. My husband and I and our six children moved here from Seattle, Washington to partake of the Promise. And to date, we are the largest Promise family. And so I am looking to serve my community and give back. And I also believe that the City Commission should look like the community that it serves. So I want to be the voice in the community represented at the table. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Urban.
I'm Jack Urban. I want to thank you for coming here and listening to all of us. And I want to thank the Gazette as well for this opportunity. This is the end of my first term on the City Commission. I've served for three terms on the County Commission and got a county-wide perspective on a lot of the issues that the city faces. I want to point out that the urbanized area of Kalamazoo County is a lot bigger than the city of Kalamazoo. But because of all the jurisdictions we have, there's a lot of balkanization. And when we go about our business daily, we are unaware of those boundaries. But as soon as it comes to paying for services that governments provide, there are very sharp lines. And we as Kalamazoo suffer a little bit from that because we're in a way, in competition with the suburbs.
But thank you, Mr. Urban.
That's it?
That's your 1 minute.
Goodness.
It's your opening statement. We've got more time to come. Mr. Cooney, you're next.
Good evening. My name is Don Cooney. For the last 18 years as a city commissioner, I have worked as hard as I can to help the people of this city to the highest quality of life of which they're capable. This is a beautiful city. We have wonderful resources, but we also have some serious problems. Almost half our children live in poverty, and according to a study by the United Way, 47% of our families aren't able to meet their basic needs. We have to do something about that. I think I bring something to the commission that can help. I have a lot of expertise. I've had training my whole, I've got a doctorate in community organizing and social work. For the last 50 years, I've been working in communities on community development. And I think that the experience that I've gained in the city and my concern, especially for working people and the poor, are things that can help us move forward on these issues.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Ms. Sykes?
Hello, everybody. My name is Shannon Sykes, and I'm running for Kalamazoo City Commission because I feel very strongly that there is a communication gap that often exists between our city and our marginalized communities, and I know that I'm the right candidate to bridge that gap. You know, I've lived here my whole life, so I know what our values are. I know how strong our values here are in Kalamazoo, and as a working mother and community, longtime community advocate, I've been a part of the conversation at the city level for quite some time, and I know that in order to find solutions that really include everyone, we have to include everybody's voice at the table. And that's what I bring to the City Commission. Now, I believe our solutions to our issues facing the city start with figuring out how we're going to put people to work here in our city, in turn revitalizing our neighborhoods and ultimately improving on the quality of life for all of our city residents. As your city commissioner, I commit to always listen to your voice first before making decisions, making sure that we're staying true to our values and that we are improving Kalamazoo together.
Mr. Cunningham.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. My name is Eric Cunningham. I am a lifetime resident here in Kalamazoo. I was born and raised over here on the east side of Kalamazoo. I am a Kalamazoo Public School graduate. I also went on to Western Michigan University and got my bachelor's and then extended my education with my master's. I've had the honor of serving you guys as City Commission since January, and I believe that my unanimous appointment was a pure outcry for a younger generation to now sit at the table and face some of these issues that we're going forward with in the community. And that's the reason why I will continue to serve this community and the reason why I'm asking for your vote come November.
Thank you. Mr. Masaryk.
My name is Matt Mulzarek. I am the construction manager at Kalamazoo Neighborhood Housing Services. Since moving to Kalamazoo, I've had the opportunity to serve. I've served as the board member and board chair of the Vine Neighborhood Association Board of Directors, as well as the City of Kalamazoo's Community Development Act Advisory Committee. Most recently, I've been working on our city's financial concerns as a member of the Blue Ribbon Revenue Panel. Throughout this service, I've had the opportunity to work hand-in-hand with residents, community leaders, and organizations and city staff to help improve where we live. Now, the city is facing some serious challenges over the coming years, and it's going to take very tough decisions to put us on the path to a stronger Kalamazoo. Now, I'm going to take my experience as your commissioner to the City Commission to fight for the changes we need. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Decker.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Cody Decker, and I'm running for City Commission because I know that Kalamazoo has every resource and potential to be the greatest small city in the state, Midwest, and country. Right now, however, we have a system that leaves far too many people out. The promises that are extended from Kalamazoo are often unavailable and unattainable and unrealized for many of our citizens, far too many. And I know that we can do better. I have spent my entire life working for equality and justice. I've worked hard here to pass our city's non-discrimination ordinance that protected LGBTQ individuals, including myself in Kalamazoo. For the past year, I fought for police reform. I will continue to fight until Black Lives Matter in this country as much as they do everyone else's. I'm running for City Commission because I want to be a representative voice for the community with nobody left out. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Knott?
Good evening. Welcome, everybody. My name is Erin Knott, and it's a pleasure being here speaking before you. I'd like to thank MLive for having us all here tonight. I am currently the state director of a national nonpartisan organization where I work to enroll people into the Affordable Care Act. This is not a very popular issue, and I think this is just one example of why I would be value added to our city commission. As many of my colleagues have referenced earlier, we are facing some difficulties that won't be popular the next commission is, that is. I moved to Kalamazoo over 20 years ago to go to Western Michigan University. I've worked in neighborhood community development before I changed careers and started working in politics. I've served on several local neighborhood boards and informal commissions. And in 2013, I had the honor of leading the Metro Transit campaign, as well as the Kalamazoo Library Millage in 2014. I ask for you for your my vote. I'm sorry, I ask you for your vote on November 3rd.
Thank you. Mr. Fletcher.
Hello, nice to see all of you. My name is Grant Fletcher. I work as the System Director of Food, Nutrition, Retail, and Sustainability for Bronson Healthcare Group. Over the past decade in Kalamazoo, I've had the pleasure of serving my community as Chair of the Dangerous Buildings Board, a member of the Downtown Kalamazoo Association Charities Board, Chair of the Downtown Kalamazoo Noise Task Force. Presently, I serve as President of the Board at Ministry with Community. I also serve on the Fair Food Matters Board of Directors, the Kalamazoo Historic District Commission, and the Downtown Development Authority. The Kalamazoo City Commission represents to me a tremendous opportunity to serve my community in a more meaningful way, and I look forward to supporting city staff and leadership in their efforts to move us to a bright and prosperous future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Holbert?
Greetings, everyone. My name is Sonia Lita Holbert, and I have been blessed and honored to live in this community for almost 20 years. I currently have two students, young adults, that are taking advantage of the Kalamazoo Promise, but the promise just does not lie within the educational system that's provided within this community, housing, transportation, access to affordable housing. Those are some of the issues that are important to improve the quality of life of our community residents. I know most often in the work that I do, working at the state level, I am a board member of the Michigan Community Action Agency and Economic Opportunity Development Commission. And most often, our community members are not being represented at the grassroots level nor at the state level. And I'm here to help bridge that gap. And so with my experience in healthcare, military veteran, my boots are on the ground.
Thank you, Ms. Holbert.
In Kalamazoo. Thank you.
After opening statements, the forum moved on to questions for the candidates. Kalamazoo Gazette editor Mickey Shikilo, who moderated the forum, says the questions were selected by the Gazette's editorial board with suggestions from readers. The candidates for mayor, Chris Mbah, and Bobby Hopewell answered the opening question first.
Kalamazoo has a structural budget deficit. Do you believe this is the result of a revenue problem or an expenditure problem, and what would you do to fix it?
Thank you once again. I will not be answering any questions from MLife or the Gazette. A bit about myself, my greatest skill is listening. I think this is a skill that lacks greatly in this community. We see that our institutions don't listen. Western Michigan University does not listen to its teachers or its students. We see that KPS do not listen to their parents or their students, and we see that the city commissioners do not respond or listen to their residents. We need leadership that will humble itself to take into the consideration the desires of the people, that they can govern themselves and they know what they really need. They don't need top-down leadership in this community. I say we need leadership that is willing to be bold and move forward in this direction. And you're going to hear a lot of these rhetoric, political rhetoric words like forward and vibrant.
Thank you, sir. Your 1 minute is up. Thank you.
We know that the challenge of the revenue is the number one issue we face. To answer the question, there may be more cuts. We're looking at priority-based budgeting that will allow us to really look at where our priorities are focused and how we refocus. And then we have the revenue panel that's looking at the potential of raising revenue. There's going to be a lot of options out there that we as a city commission or whomever's elected on November 3rd that are going to have to look at, determine, vet, and with you, determine the path forward. Revenue opportunities are going to take the people to decide what to do. What I will do is work with whomever is on the commission to determine the path forward, and that path we don't know yet.
Thank you. Mr. Youngs.
Well, the city both has a revenue problem and an expenditure problem. 50% of the city is tax exempt. Therefore, we cannot get any revenue off Bronson, U of M, KBCC, or any entity that is nonprofit, churches, community associations, et cetera. I think the priority-based budgeting was a good step in the direction for the city to take. It's a way of looking at revenues, how to allocate that, what's the main priority in the city, which generally is public safety. I think the Blue Ribbon panel is coming up with some ideas that I'm extremely open to. It's to increase the revenue some form so we can maintain what we have without limiting more.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson?
Thank you. To simply answer the question at the beginning, I believe that we do have a revenue problem in the city of Kalamazoo for a whole variety of reasons, too numerous to list in 1 minute. I have been participating for the last 10 years now in budget cuts every single year, which has resulted in 200 fewer employees, reduced benefits, frozen wage increases from time to time. At some point, if the city of Kalamazoo is going to prosper, we're going to reach a point where we are not going to be able to provide responsive city services and decent infrastructure, which is what we need for private individuals to invest and live here in order for the city to do better. There are a list of possible revenue sources, which I think we will be carefully considering. But at the end of the day, it is the citizens of the city of Kalamazoo that will be helping to make that decision.
Thank you. Mr. Urban?
We have an expenditure problem and a revenue problem. As we just heard, the expenditure problem has been with us for some time. And we should be prepared to make further cuts. I think what will guide us in those cuts is this technique of priority-based budgeting that the city manager has brought into the city. But the main issue going forward is going to be dealing with revenue, because we've made the cuts. You've heard for 10 years, how much more can we go? Well, there's always something. But we're going to need a substantial increase in revenue to maintain the services that we currently have, and to really create a community that is sustainable for the 21st century. We can't keep doing what we did in the 20th century and expect it to work in the 21st. So I'm expecting the revenue panel to come up with a substantial practical means of raising money for keeping the city viable.
Thank you, Mr. Urban. Ms. Carter?
Yes, there are issues with the revenue. Understanding the new tool that we have with the priority-based budgeting, that's definitely a good resource to really evaluate the budget right now. And I would start with the areas that we were, you know, alerted to that there's about 8% of the budget that doesn't serve any, you know, is not part of any results for the city and doesn't serve, you know, it doesn't have any federal mandated fees in there. So let's take a look at that 8% and see how we can dive into that, see what those, you know, funding is being sourced, you know, where is it being sourced and how we can reallocate those funds. So I would start there before any kind of income tax or anything like that to the citizens.
Thank you. Ms. Sykes?
So I do believe we absolutely have a revenue problem. I am open to the idea of cuts, but I would want to make sure that whatever cuts that we make don't further harm folks who are already struggling in our community, because as Commissioner Cooney said earlier, we have a lot of folks who are struggling in poverty here in our city. So revenue is definitely the thing we have to focus on. I look forward to hearing the suggestions that are going to come down from the Blue Ribbon panel, and we'll keep an open mind about whatever ideas they come up with. But again, I believe the long-term solution is figuring out how to put folks to work here in the city. We've got a lot of folks here in the city who are unemployed, who are living in poverty, and if we're talking about how we're going to collect revenue, then people need to have money in their pockets and be able to improve their financial foundation at home, and in turn, the financial foundation of our city will improve as well.
Thank you. Mr. Cooney.
We have a serious revenue problem, as does every city in Michigan. And I believe it's by design, because I believe that the state wants to get more and more control over the cities, as they've shown with the other cities that are in trouble. When I first started on the city commission, we had 916 full-time workers. Now we got 632. And we are down there because we are not getting the resources that we need. If we got the same state shared revenue that we got 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have any deficit at all at this time. I've been through 18 budgets, I'm on my 19th. I don't remember anything, any time when we were spending money profligately. We're very careful how we spend the money. But our people deserve the services that the city provides, and they deserve a lot more. And so we need to get the revenue to give our people the services they deserve.
Thank you. Mr. Milzarek?
Yes, our revenue stream is in trouble. Under the current format, the revenues we bring in will never keep pace with the cost of doing business. So yes, we can use priority-based budgeting to focus on efficiencies and cuts, but every single year, if we balance the budget the previous year, we will have a new budget shortfall every single year until we address our revenue. So yes, we have a revenue problem. I'm a member of the Blue Ribbon Revenue Panel trying to find solutions in a way that will give us the opportunity not just to solve that problem, but to also prosper in the process and offer more value. And I will fight throughout that whole process and as your next commissioner to give us value for the taxes we spend. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham.
Revenue is definitely the issue that we're facing as a community moving forward. It's an honor to have served with Jim Ritzma in these last 7 or 8, 9 months. Some of the ideas that he's been bringing to the table are definitely things that, as a community, I think we all can agree is going to profit us in the long run. With revenue issues that we're facing moving forward, we have to find ways to invest in micro businesses. We have to find ways to invest into our community again to get these jobs back and forth and coming back to the community. It's not an opportunity. It's not the same situation as before where we could call on a large organization to come in and save the day with 1,000 jobs. So I think the micro business opportunities is what's going to actually carry us moving forward.
Thank you. Ms. Knott?
Yes, I agree that we have a revenue difficulty here in Kalamazoo. Like Vice Mayor Anderson said, there are numerous reasons. As Commissioner Cooney suggested, the reduction in revenue cost sharing from the state has hampered us significantly. I understand that there will be more cuts coming. However, we cannot cut ourselves out of this situation. The neighborhoods and our core city has already experienced the consequences of the dramatic cuts that have occurred to date. I think that it's also imperative that our city leadership be looking at ways in which to eliminate some of the impediments that discourage innovation and entrepreneurship. We have lots of land out there that right now there are developers as well as small business owners that are looking at, but they run into hurdles or challenges that, you know, prevent them from being successful in securing that land and repurposing it, which will generate revenue for our city.
Thank you. Mr. Decker.
Kalamazoo has a budget problem. Our budget consists of revenues and expenditures. I agree with everyone else. We can't really cut. We can cut more, but y'all are going to have to decide what services you don't want anymore. Also, like Commissioner Cooney said, we have 632 full-time staff now doing the same work that like almost 900 people were doing with no pay raise. It's not fair, and we can't keep doing that to people. What I do want to talk about is that we're not going to solve our budget issues unless we bring everybody together. Right now, the Blue Revenue Panel is fantastic, but it consists of half of the people don't live in the city. They're members of, mostly elite members of our society, and until we start bringing everyone together, poor people, people of color, cultural creatives, artists, and young people, and create a Kalamazoo that people want to live in, because 80% of our workforce doesn't live here, we won't fix the budget. So we have to attack things at the root level.
Thank you. Ms. Hulbert? Yep.
Yes, we have a revenue issue. Well, my colleagues have stated that. A couple things. Institutional knowledge is great. However, we have individuals that are up here that are running for office that have been in office for years and have not solved this problem. So as you go to the ballot, go to the box to vote, take into consideration that the same individuals that are coming up here telling you we have to make budget cuts or we have to address this issue, they've been working on it for several years. That's one thing. Two, we have to invest in small business, and we have to invest in the outskirts of our neighborhoods. Our leadership in place, county and city, have been so downtown focused, they have allowed our other communities, the east side, the south side, the north side, up to Frank Street, where Western has a benefit, if you will. And I love the college. However, all of our community members are not benefiting from the investments that have been made in the past. And so we have to stop dropping microbreweries all over the community and
pushing families
out of their communities.
Thank you. Mr. Fletcher.
I bet you can't guess what I'm about to say. Pleasure of going last. I think we have a lot of opportunities. I think Kalamazoo is uniquely poised to make great strides forward. I think we have an incredibly dynamic group of individuals in charge of our city leadership at this point. We have great city staff, and it's important that the city commission support that staff and hold that staff accountable. We need to come together as a group, as a community, to generate great ideas. I think we have great opportunity to build density in our urban core to attract businesses and residents. I think we're, as a community, as a society, we're in a great position, a position no one before us has been, to leverage global knowledge and experience to bring ideas from around the world to our community to help drive revenue in the future. And that is not to say that we will not have to make some cuts or reallocate some funding in the meantime. Thank you.
You're listening to WMUK's West Southwest and a forum for candidates running for Kalamazoo City Commission and Mayor. It was hosted by the Kalamazoo Gazette at the MLive Hub in downtown Kalamazoo. We'll have more of Wednesday night's forum in a moment. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We continue with Wednesday's forum for mayor and Kalamazoo City Commission candidates, hosted by the Kalamazoo Gazette. Gazette editor Mickey Shikailo moderated the forum and continues with questions for the candidates.
Question number two, and again, you'll have 1 minute to answer. The question is, Kalamazoo has made great strides with surrounding communities by working to implement the 911 central dispatch system. In your view, what other services should the city be looking to partner with local municipalities to perform? Ms. Hulbert.
One of those for me would be housing. I know that MISHTA has budgeted amounts that go into the county and also dollar amounts that are also invested at the city level. And I think a part of the problem is we have revenue streams that are coming in, but our organizations and agencies are not collaborating and working together to maximize those dollars. I had the opportunity to sit in on a forum up north and hear someone at the state level that works for MISHTA say, we're working on it, we're looking at it. But I think we have a unique opportunity. We have individuals that have expertise and are knowledgeable. However, everyone is fearful of losing dollars because we have created a system of programs, people that depend on programs instead of us helping to transition individuals to sustainability. And so I think if we can utilize our revenues to streamline services and maximize our dollars by coordinated city and county, we'll be better off as a community.
Thank you, Ms. Hulbert. Mr. Fletcher.
I would say that any public service that any municipality in and around us are offering or providing to our citizens is an opportunity for us to collaborate and save money and work together.
Thank you. Ms. Knott?
You know, I think that we just had a question about revenue, and as we're thinking about revenue, we need to open our minds and thinking about how our county can work together, intergovernmental cooperation. And so, you know, whether it's wastewater or public safety or even some of the housing kind of inspector positions, I agree with Mr. Fletcher that we need to have an open mind and look for economies of scale and cost-saving measures throughout the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Decker.
Yes, I agree also that we need to be looking at every resource that could be possibly shared. What I want to talk about is that we're the economic hub of Kalamazoo County. So everyone comes in here and uses our services, but they don't normally live here and pay property taxes, which is half of how we get our budget. So this is a huge part of fixing our budget. I think we need to talk about the fact that we have like 39 or 31 regional municipalities in this small location. And some of them, we have to have conversations about possibly not having so many municipalities, I believe. And I think it's whispered about and it's talked about sometimes, but it's a conversation that I want to have out in the open with the public and talk about how we can actually start to coordinate and change some of these things, because it is a huge problem. We can't support the entire county financially.
Thank you. Mr. Mazarek.
Thank you. I'm a strong proponent of regional solutions. All across America, this is the model metro areas are moving to. Unfortunately, in Michigan, we have some challenges that date back that really limit the way municipalities can grow and collaborations can happen. So with that in mind, we need to look at what's feasible and sort of start with the low-hanging fruit. Right now, one that comes to mind is water and wastewater. It's something we're considering on the Blue Ribbon Revenue Panel as an option, and it's something where the city is already providing this service beyond our boundaries. Another thing that comes to mind is economic development. 81% of our city's workforce lives outside of our city, yet many of the economic development incentives in this area are held up by the city itself. So I think moving those type of programs to a countywide model could really improve things. Thank you.
Mr. Cunningham.
I will use the same sentiments as Mr. Mazarek. Intergovernmental relationships has to thrive. Regionally, we have to build upon that. And I think that moving forward, having that dialogue is going to be huge in our community. Not only that, but how do we get the civic engagement to have a large part of that conversation is one of my major priorities moving forward.
Thank you. Ms. Sykes?
I hate to sound like a broken record up here, but I agree with my colleagues that, you know, I think that we have to keep an open mind about, you know, working in collaboration with other municipalities regionally in all public services. But I agree we should start with water, wastewater, and I would say public safety. And I would go a little bit further into that and just say that I think for a lot of folks, especially folks who are dealing with some historical trauma, it can be very confusing to be dealing with multiple multiple public safety departments. So I think that that's one of the other best places to start.
Thank you. Mr. Cooney.
I think we already are cooperating in a number of areas, and that's increased over the past couple years with the transit, with the public safety, and thanks to the efforts of the vice mayor in the housing, there'll be a proposal on the ballot on November the 3rd, which will benefit children who are homeless throughout the county. I think it's a mistake for people who don't live in the city of Kalamazoo and live in the county to think it doesn't matter what happens in the city of Kalamazoo. The problems that we have are their problems. They use the same hospitals we use. As Matt pointed out, 81% of the people that work in the city don't live in the city. So as this city goes, this region is going to go. So when we have so many of our kids who are hurting, when we have so many of our families that can't make it, we have to come together as a county and say, we have the resources, we have to make this thing work for all of us.
Thank you. Mr. Urban.
Well, I agree with a good deal of what's already been said, but I have another suggestion. Well, that is local inter-jurisdictional tax-based sharing. For any new development that occurs in the county, the extra tax base that comes from that is shared throughout all the participating jurisdictions. So it doesn't change anything right away, but over time, we will have a pool of money that is usable by the whole county, and no one single jurisdiction strikes it rich with, say, a Target distribution center in their township or a GM plant in their township. And everybody else is left behind. There are winners and losers in that kind of thing, and developers play jurisdictions off against one another that way. So sharing services, there's not a lot of money to save there, and it's a lot of work. I'm just telling you that the ways to do that are going to take a while.
Thank you, Mr. Urban. Ms. Carter.
Collaborating services that are provided for families and children. Everybody's doing something for children, and we need programs that don't just give you a meal, but teach you how to fish. Don't just give these, you know, families and children a meal to survive until they get in line the next day. We need collaborative programs with different organizations to help these families be sustainable for the long term. Jobs, whatever their, you know, core basic needs are, but help these families be sustainable and collaborate. There's so many organizations that are doing things for family and children. If we could collaborate some of those efforts, we would be better off. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Youngs?
Intergovernmental cooperation is an overused term. I like to think about intergovernmental efficiencies. Look for small ways that we can tackle these problems. Transit's taken at least 10 years. Consolidated dispatch has taken 10 years. Countywide public safety, although it's a great concept, would probably take a minimum 15 years. But I would look for different ways. Years ago, there was talk of the North End US 131 business loop. Roads come in from the, traffic comes in from Grand Rapids, goes to Grand Rapids. It's been a pipe dream of Ron Reed, township supervisor, and K Township. If we got that intersection going, cooperation with the city of Parchment, Kalamazoo Township, we would open up more property because we are landlocked and we are surrounded by charter townships in the city of Portage, and it's a very difficult time.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson?
Having participated in many such forums, I can tell you that we've heard the same question and the same answers for at least 10 years. And it is a wonderful thing to say, and it's certainly fantastic to sit here in Kalamazoo and say, well, we shouldn't have townships or people need to cooperate with us, but that really doesn't move the needle at all. So what successes have we had? We have had a success with mass transit, which has taken us 10 years of hard work and is still 1 year off. We're having success with consolidated dispatch, another long process. The only way to really make substantive progress is to realize that you have to build relationships, do the hard, challenging work, and pick items where you have an opportunity for accomplishment on sharing governmental activities. There are some of those out there, but it's going to take the work and experience to actually do that.
Thank you. Mr. Embaugh?
All right. Where I left off, political rhetoric. Vibrant, forward, sustainable, quality of life, all these things you keep hearing from many of these people here. But when are we going to see it? You know, we need leadership, bold and innovative leadership that'll speak truth to power. Where do we see this in Kalamazoo? Where do we see bold leaders who are willing to speak the truth? We have a mayor who was challenged 52 days ago to a debate and is unwilling to either respond in declining or accepting. If he cannot challenge a tough challenger, how is he going to take on the tough challenges? If we've seen this, we've seen this kind of leadership in this community year after year, it's time for a new era in leadership.
I will repeat the question. The question is, Kalamazoo has made great strides with surrounding communities by working to implement a 911 central dispatch system. In your view, what other services should the city be looking to partner with local municipalities to perform? Mr. Mayor Hopewell.
Thank you. You've heard a lot from candidates regarding services and opportunities, and there's so much of what has been said that is correct. It is a huge challenge. You have to have willing partners. Nothing in this state requires any municipality to cooperate with another one. Nothing. Charter townships can do what they want, cities can do what they want, and we do. I think the opportunities, if you want to know some incremental ones, I think detective bureaus. I think we are after the same people. I think that would be one. Districted fire response, so that we're sending the closest appropriate apparatus than necessarily ours or Portage's if we're closer. If you're driving through one of the other communities with your fire engine and there's a fire and it's not your community, you should respond to that fire. I think the other opportunity might be fire marshals. Investigating a fire is a fire. A few opportunities.
Thank you.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. You're listening to a forum for candidates running for mayor of Kalamazoo and Kalamazoo City Commission. It was held on Wednesday and hosted by the Kalamazoo Gazette at their MLive hub in Kalamazoo. Gazette editor Mickey Shikailo moderated. This was the final question for all of the candidates.
We're going to move on to our next question. And for this one, we're going to start with Mr. Fletcher in the middle. The question is this. Our community has an extraordinary gift with the Kalamazoo Promise. What is your vision for how the city could ensure that all young people take advantage of this opportunity? Mr. Fletcher.
I think the Kalamazoo Promise is a tremendous gift. I also think it's an incredible challenge to our community to use that gift as responsibly as possible. I think there are many, many opportunities to leverage the Kalamazoo Promise in ways that allow children and the families with those children to understand the value and potential of that gift, to recognize that it's an opportunity to do something that was formerly not a possibility for a lot of families and children. By and large, I view the Kalamazoo Promise not so much as a gift, but as a challenge to our community to make the most of it and demonstrate that we are willing to fully embrace it and take it to the next step.
Thank you. Ms. Holbert.
As I stated earlier, I have two college students. One, a biochemical engineering major, yay, and a secondary education major that is taking advantage of the Kalamazoo Promise. So I'm very thankful for that opportunity. But again, making sure that they have safe neighborhoods, that once my kids graduate, that they want to come back to the community that has poured into them over the 20 years, over these last 20 years, and actually prepare themselves to take root here so that their families could also live here is what we're all talking about. Increasing opportunity for small businesses to come in. And honestly, from my understanding at the state level, they're talking about at some point instituting, if they can pass it, an 11% corporate tax. So I don't know how that's going to benefit small business long term, or if my children will want to return, because if they want to open up a small business, they may be taxed to death, unfortunately.
Thank you. Ms. Knott.
Unfortunately, our community has way too many kids that go to bed each night hungry. They go to school cold in the wintertime. They're living at relatives' homes because they don't have a house of their own. Our city leadership can do better. We can support the neighborhoods by making sure that everybody has quality, affordable housing, and the housing millage is one step towards that. We can be working again to reduce the impediments to innovation and entrepreneurship so that we're creating jobs. As I've said many times to several of you, we have a vibrant downtown. But if people don't have any extra money in their pocket at the end of the day when they paid their expenses, they're not going to benefit from our downtown. And this is how we can do better by the promise. People need to have wealth, individual wealth, so that they have security, so that they can support their kids, so that they can succeed in school to succeed in the promise.
Thank you. Mr. Decker.
The Kalamazoo Promise is one of the most amazing things about Kalamazoo. However, like Ms. Knott just said, we have 46% of our children in poverty. We're voting on a millage because 50% of the children in Kalamazoo County will experience homelessness at some time in their lives. I was just reading an article. We have the highest expulsion rates for students in Kalamazoo of the entire state, higher than Detroit. So if our kids can't get to graduation day, they can't access the promise. So we have to be working, and we've talked a lot about 10 years. It took the city 10 years to identify poverty as a priority. I can tell you that if you elect me on to the city commission, poverty will be one of my top priorities from day one. I also believe that we have to look at the promise's longevity because it was a very generous thing, but what's going to happen when it runs out? Is the promise just going to... How long does the promise last, and how are we going to keep it in our community with some of the conversation we also need to have?
Thank you. Mr. Emelsart.
To really fulfill the promise, we have to address poverty and the quality of life in our community. I've worked at KPS in a fourth grade class, and I'd see students come in starving. Their very small breakfast was what they had to start the day. I saw them coming in winter with flip-flops on because they didn't have shoes. This is a problem for those people. We need to focus on our neighborhoods and really uplift the community and help build not just strong families, but strong communities to where if your parents aren't holding it together for you, your neighbors down the street are, or your neighbors two blocks over are. That's what we have to get back to, and I think the city does have a role to play in that process.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham.
Well, I've had the honor to talk to Mr. Brian Washington, who's the director of the Promise, and one of the major questions that he's been dealing with is, how do we get children to understand the value of what the promise means to them? And the main question that he said, as a mentor, and this is a question, you know, that we want to know, as a mentor, how can I instill that value in them? And then he said to pose this question simply, we are investing in you. You mean that much to the community that we are going to invest in you. And so ask that question to them, who are you and what is the reason why we should invest in you? And they might give a simple answer, but that answer is very rooted into who we are as a community. We give back unlike any other community that I've ever experienced. Obviously, I've been here my entire life. But because of that, I believe that's the reason why we're dealing with revenue issues. So many nonprofits, we have to make sure we communicate that these organizations are out here to support.
Thank you, Mr. Cunningham. Ms. Sykes?
I agree with everybody else. The Kalamazoo Promise is a great asset to our community. And it does start with addressing poverty. You know, I'm a mother of four. I know how hard it is to get a child to hear anything, right, if they're hungry. So they're definitely not learning anything in the classroom if they're hungry or if they don't know where they're sleeping at that night. I would also go so far, though, as to say we also have to stop being afraid to talk about the school-to-prison pipeline that exists here and across the country. You know, we have a lot of kids who don't make it to graduation to access the promise, and many of them are kids of color, especially young Black men of color. And so we need to start thinking about how we're losing them, why we're losing them, why we have so many disparities in and disciplinary action in our public school system. And we have to start talking about how to address those things as well, because just addressing poverty is not going to do it alone.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney.
Promise is a magnificent gift, but it removes one obstacle, granted, a very big obstacle to kids succeeding in college. If we're going to get kids to succeed and get to the place they need to be, we have to do a lot more. We certainly have to do a lot about poverty. We certainly have to do a lot about racism, institutional racism. As a city, what can we do? We're just talked about how we don't have any resources. What the city can do is two things. We can be the catalyst to bring people together. And we can, as Ms. Carter talked about, mobilize the many resources we have in this city to focus on this issue. 16 years ago, with Commissioner Ed Gordon, we started the Communities and Schools program here in this city. Now that has a $3.5 million budget, and they're doing great stuff for kids. The missing link is after school, weekends, and the summer.
Thank you. Mr. Urban.
Well, I think one thing the city could do more, a lot of the things we've talked about, we have to ask, is it really in the city's charter or in its purview to really deal with those things? Well, one thing I would say that we could do, if we require a commitment from everybody to contribute to it, is to have a revolving loan program for improving the housing stock in Kalamazoo so that people have a reason to stay here and increase the equity in their homes. And this would apply to commercial buildings as well. That helps increase the tax base, which is a long-term investment we're making. It also helps provide stability and in cutting down on the transfer of houses. I'm going to stop before I'm stopped this time.
Thank you. Ms. Carter?
So I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the promise. So I'm very grateful for the promise, $500,000 for our family, for our six children, for the promise. So it is huge. And one of the things that, you know, I just enrolled my daughter into Ferris State University, first child on the promise. And we have to be intentional about making sure these children are ready for college. And, you know, it has to start early in high school because, you know, as the poverty issues, supporting families, all that starts at the, you know, starts from the beginning. But in high school, we have to be very intentional about preparing them for college because graduating barely from high school is very ill-equipped for, you know, accessing the promise. So how can we pour into high school children in collaboration with other organizations to make sure that these children are promise ready, college ready?
Thank you. Mr. Youngs.
The question again was?
Okay. The question is, our community has an extraordinary gift with the Kalamazoo Promise. What is your vision for how the city can ensure all young people take advantage of this opportunity?
Well, number one, to keep them in the city, keep them in the school district. We're getting into a situation here that it's a lot to do with the schools to get the kids to want to go to college. Now, whether it's bringing alumni back, telling kids how it goes and what to look forward to. Poverty is another thing. My wife got involved, Big Brothers Big Sisters. Evelyn, who's in her first year at Grand Valley, has lived in five different homes, evicted out of four different homes. We tried to show her our little world on how to go to school, how to get your grades up, what it was like to go to college for her other daughter. So I think a lot of it involves just going back and getting yourself involved in some of these children that are out there through Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or other community organizations. So it falls back on the citizens.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson.
There are two distinct things the city of Kalamazoo can do to support the promise. One, very tangible and practical, and that is do the things in the city that no one else will do but the city of Kalamazoo. Help keep neighborhoods safe through strong public safety. Support the neighborhood organizations. Support infrastructure, decent streets, sidewalks, parks and rec. It's no one else's job in the city to do that but the city. The city must do that. No one will flourish if they live in a neighborhood and do not feel safe and protected. The other category is convener. That is certainly an example of what's happening with shared prosperity. Be the convener to bring partners together in this community to focus on the issues that we have here and solve them as an example for the entire nation.
Thank you. Mr. Embaugh?
I want to address one of the comments that came out of the audience because I believe in open dialogue, and so this might be the only time you get to experience such. And so stop wasting our time. I believe that continuing to come to a platform like this and listen to a handful of people say the same thing year after year, I think that's wasting your time. And so just like the famous saying says, the repetitiveness and expecting a different result is madness. And so we may be experiencing madness in Kalamazoo. We may be experiencing unification, if in anything, madness in Kalamazoo, because we continue to do and endorse the same people who say the same things but never produce. When are we going to see a different result? And I submit to you, it's when we do something different. Now, why aren't any of these candidates saying anything different to you? Think with your minds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hopewell. I will repeat the question one more time. The question is, our community has an extraordinary gift with the Kalamazoo Promise. What is your vision for how the city can ensure all young people take advantage of this opportunity?
Thank you. So we have multiple agencies, lots of them working on the Promise. We have so much philanthropic dollars that are going into investing in our children. It's an alignment issue. How do we get everyone on the same page of what our mission and goals are for our children? That's what we have to do. We have to bring folks together and align about where we want to go. The other piece that I think is very important, and I've learned this from our vice mayor, is housing. Housing, I think, is key to a family success, a child's success, and a community success. And I've learned that from him, and we've got to find a way to have more affordable housing in our community. Thanks.
You've been listening to a forum for candidates running for mayor of Kalamazoo and Kalamazoo City Commission, hosted by the Kalamazoo Gazette. It was held on Wednesday at the M Live Hub in downtown Kalamazoo. Due to time constraints, we are not able to bring you the candidates' closing statements on air, but they can be heard at WMUK.org. The Kalamazoo City election will be held November 3rd. This is the first year that there is a separate election for mayor. Voters will also pick 6 city commissioners. The top 3 finishers will get 4-year terms. The next 3 will get 2-year terms. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.